there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by AT&T Fiber. And we just want to say, we know there's nothing better in the world than getting a great deal. Like getting upgraded to a better seat on a long flight. Or getting a free dessert when you're a restaurant regular. Even that free latte you get when you fill up your punch card, a deal just makes it taste better. And now, as an AT&T wireless customer, you can get an exclusive deal on super fast internet from AT&T Fiber. You'll get faster upload speeds and a great deal with AT&T Fiber. That means smooth gaming, reliable video calls, and a quality work from home experience. It might not be as tasty as a free donut with your coffee, but it is pretty sweet. You can learn more at att.com/fiberoffer. Limited availability in select areas. Restrictions apply.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, are you taking the overs, the unders? They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Hope you guys are having an unbelievable holiday, getting you ready for the best weekend of the year. It is rivalry weekend. Got a great show for you pre-recorded. We hit our keys to victory for the three biggest games, Auburn, Alabama in the Iron Bowl, Ohio State, Michigan in the game, and Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Bedlam, a game with a bunch of consequences either way, just like the Michigan-Ohio State game. John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, is going to join us, as well as Bo Nix, Auburn quarterback, is going to preview the Iron Bowl. That's can't miss. And then David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, and I debate what is the best rivalry in college football between the Iron Bowl and the game. Appreciate you guys. Again, like I said, I hope you're having an unbelievable holiday week. Get ready for some great football. Make sure you subscribe to The Volume and The J-Boy Show on The Volume YouTube channel. Really appreciate you guys. Talk soon and enjoy the episode. Enjoy your turkey and enjoy your football watching.
Hey, everybody. No, it's weird. Us not having a live show. Seems like we've done one almost every day since I don't know when, but we appreciate you guys joining us today. I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving holiday week whenever you're watching this, listening, whenever. But we appreciate you guys. We weren't going to let a week go by, though, with some of these matchups without going over our keys to victory. One day we'll have like a car dealership sponsor.
Yeah.
It'll be like, this is the Ford keys to victory. Remember I said that, or the Kia keys to victory, whatever. The first game I want to look at, and there's a lot of rivalries this weekend, but I want to look at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And let's start with Oklahoma. And to me, it's a pretty simple formula
when you're taking on Oklahoma State. We know Oklahoma State isn't flashy offensively. They're not going to be writing books or philosophy tablets on the explosivity of the Oklahoma State offense in 2021. It starts with stopping the run. And if you stop the run, you put Oklahoma State behind the eight ball significantly. Not only that, if you get up on them and stop the run, you put them in a hole, in my opinion, when you get to 10, 14, and I know they've made big plays on defense at certain times, but eventually that runs out. They struggle to score. The games, and I know they've only had one loss, but the games that have been tight, and most of them, even going back to the beginning of the year, have been pretty tight with Oklahoma State, it's because teams have taken the run away. So if Oklahoma is able to take the run away, we know they can get cooking on offense. And Oklahoma State has a good defense. This isn't your old school Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State, we're going to throw it around and score 50 points and give up 35, whatever, whatever. It's almost on the opposite coin. Oklahoma State defensively has been pretty sound. But if they're not able to score, Oklahoma offensively has enough weapons over the course of four quarters to be able to score enough to win. So you got to stop the run. That's where it starts. If you're Oklahoma, and again, you got to play good complementary football, probably the phrase we've used the most, especially this season when we're trying to find teams that can find consistency per se. But this isn't a super complex formula if you're Oklahoma and trying to find a way to edge out Oklahoma State. You stop the run and you build it from there. You play decent enough on offense. You have a shot to win the game and a pretty good one. Now, on the other hand, if I'm Oklahoma State, and every team that plays Oklahoma, to me, this is what you have to do, especially with a young quarterback with not as many weapons as a Bryce Young around him, not as many weapons as a C.J. Stroud around him. You have got to make Caleb Williams beat you as a thrower. That's what you've got to do. To me, you pressure him. But the one thing with pressuring a quarterback like Caleb Williams is you've got to keep contained and you've got to peel for the back. I mean, you watched Auburn against South Carolina. Great example. All right, we're going to blitz. You have peel rules. Well, what are peel rules? Let's win the water cooler here for a second. It's when we're blitzing, we're bringing enough people, somebody's got to be able to cover the back if he flares out. If they say, oh, it's blitz, here he goes. He's not staying in a protection, and they flare him out. Typically, it's the end guy that you're bringing on the blitz. So the widest guy on each side knows if the back is going out, I have got to immediately exit my blitz, and I've got to go cover him. You can't make mistakes like that when you're heating up Caleb Williams, and you can't make the mistake of letting him break contain on a blitz. Those are the two ways he can kill you. But if you make him beat you throwing, if you're able to mix your pressures and you keep him in the pocket, not that Caleb Williams isn't a good thrower or doesn't have a chance to be an elite thrower, but right now it's the best way to try and beat him because he's still in that point where he thinks he can make every throw. He's still in that frame of mind where he believes that even if it's in the coverage or it may not be the best decision, he's good enough to get it there. It's been called being a young guy. Sometimes you got to know when to say uncle. He doesn't know when to say uncle yet. So if you're Oklahoma State, you can't let him run around and extend the play outside the pocket. You can't let him sit there and beat you with cue power and all that. But if you make him throw to beat you, eventually he will put the ball in harm's way. And you've seen this Oklahoma team. If they turn the ball over more than once, they're probably not winning the game. So when I look at Oklahoma State and you're going against and you look at Caleb Williams and you're like, man, this guy is unbelievably elusive. He can extend the play and make crazy plays. He's taking the ball out of guys' hands on fourth down to win the game. Make him beat you the old-fashioned way. Yep. Make him beat you from sitting in the pocket, going through his progressions, taking the check down, having to make the right decision. Don't let him get let him get greedy. Let him get greedy. Let him walk into his own trap. And I think Oklahoma State's good enough defensively to do that, and I think that's what they're going to do. You saw Iowa State try and do it a little bit, but it started falling apart there in the second half because that was the defensive game most of the game, and Oklahoma had scored 7 points and turned the ball over. So it's not a complex formula with either one of these teams. What say you?
I think this game is going to be a line of scrimmage game. Yeah. Surprisingly, but both these teams want to do what? They want to run the football. Right, I believe Oklahoma State's averaging 194 on the ground, which is good. Only about 215 through the air. Both these teams want to run the football, and it's gonna come down to see who's more physical. It's gonna be crazy to see. It's a Big 12 football game, but it's gonna come down to a line of scrimmage game. All right, and the same thing. You can't let Caleb Williams get out of the pocket. Make him dink and dunk you down the field and beat you, because you haven't seen it yet, especially with Oklahoma without a running game. But Oklahoma's defense in this game is the big factor to me. They're extremely good, right?
Oklahoma's defense?
Oklahoma State's defense. That's They're giving up 15 points a game.
They're a defensive team.
They're winning the line of scrimmage at mostly every game they played in. And if you beat Oklahoma, you know the recipe to beat Oklahoma, you got to win at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Watching Caleb Williams play has kind of reminded me of Bo Nix at times, right?
Peaks, I like that comp.
Peaks and valleys, right? Seen him play good enough to be in the Heisman conversation after two or three games, that's unbelievable. Seen him play low enough against a Baylor team to get replaced by Spencer Rattler. Yeah. Which one will show up? And it won't be him. It won't be which one of him shows up. It'll be which one can Oklahoma State manifest out of him? Are they going to be able to frustrate him to be able, as a young guy, to just make those mistakes like you talked about? And if they're able to do that, they can beat Oklahoma.
I agree. We always talk about there's 3 to 5 plays, right, that determine a game. That's going to be so true in this game.
Oh, yeah.
There may be 2 or 3 explosive plays, and you always got to look back to special teams.
Yep.
Who can make the big play on special teams? It's the phase that nobody talks about, and it's a third of the game. It's 33% of the game, and these line of scrimmage games, these tight games that are contested where there's not a lot of margin for error,
field position.
That's where you see the difference there. Field position, block punt, stuff like that. But I want to move on to the Iron Bowl.
Ooh.
Big one. No Bo Nix. Auburn's missing their kicker. Kobe Hudson, we'll see if he's going to play, coming off a concussion. And I'm going to start with Auburn. You've got to hit some explosive plays. You're going to have to score to stay in this game. The defense is not going to be able to stifle Alabama, in my opinion, for 4 quarters. Auburn has not hit explosive plays, whether it's been through the run, whether it's been through the air. They've been having to go on these monotonous 8 to 10 to 12 play drives. Auburn just does not hit explosive plays. They hit some against Mississippi State in the first half. You saw when they were pushing the ball down the field. And you have got to try and stretch Alabama vertically with TJ Finley. You have to. It's the only way, because Auburn has to be as balanced as possible to be as effective as possible. Most offenses don't that are operating at a high caliber. You see the split at about 60-40, but at the end of the day, you know what they have to go to move the ball. Auburn's not like that. Auburn has to have the full menu open because they don't have elite players at the skill positions. But you have got to take shots, especially early against Alabama, to let them know that you're not afraid to go over the top. Whether you hit them or not, you may run into one with Demetrius Robinson or Shedrick Jackson or Kobe Hudson if he plays, but you cannot let Alabama start creeping up to the box and play a game of, we're going to take away Tank and see what else you have. Because Auburn, And Mike Bobo's called it this way, how many vertical shots really has Auburn taken throughout the year? Not a ton. Mm-hmm. And some that they've taken, they've hit. Go back to Demetrius Robinson against Arkansas. You look at Kobe Hudson, that they've hit some of them. But against this Alabama team, you're not going to win this game 17-14. You're going to have to find a way to hit explosive plays and steal a couple touchdowns. This can't be a downset hut, run it on first down, it's second and 8. TJ Finley throws a 3-yard out to a tight end, it's 3rd and 5. Oh, here comes Alabama pinning their ears back. Or Alabama knows it's a pass due to tendency. They're going to run 2-man and make TJ Finley have to make miraculous throws like Zach Calzada did for 4 quarters. You're not going to be able to beat them the old-fashioned way. You're going to have to hit explosive plays. How you do that? Vertical passing game, reverses, stalk and goes, skinny wheels, picks, whatever it takes. You're going to have to find a way to do that, because if you don't, you will end up losing by about the spread. You'll lose by 3 touchdowns because this – and again, the red zone. You get down there, Auburn's fortunate enough to get down there, you're going to have to score touchdowns. You're going to have to. And that's the truth with Auburn. How can you get to explosive plays? Because if not, you're gonna get blown out of the gym. You're gonna get ran out of the gym.
Yeah.
That's just the truth. And then you look on the Alabama side. Alabama's got to stay the course and not try and do too much. And Bryce Young has done a good job of not being too up for games, too down for games, trying to play to a level of competition. We've seen how inconsistent Alabama's been on both sides of the ball, and Auburn's gonna need some help in this game.
Yep.
They're gonna need one side of the ball for Alabama to not show up as they normally have. Whether that's offense, whether it's the defense, you pick one of them. Auburn needs that. If this is the game where Alabama finds consistency in all three phases, they're going to win. And it's not going to be that close because they have the capability to dominate the line of scrimmage. But what Alabama can't do is what they did 2 years ago when they came to Jordan-Hare. trying to do too much. When you get down to the two, running a play action and trying to hit Najee on the out. I mean, at the end of the day, or the arrow route, whatever. At the end of the day, Alabama really just has to show up and do what they've done. Hand the ball to Brian Robinson, play action game. Auburn's pass rush has been non-existent. And if Derek Mason rushes three against Bryce Young, it's going to be a bloodletting. So I expect Derek Mason to bring pressure at Bryce Young. I expect him to bring pressure. Whether it's second and seven, whether it's third and nine. Now the question is, if you're Alabama, are you going to be smart enough to just take what Auburn gives you? And I think Bill O'Brien will. I think he'll tell Bryce Young to. But if you're Alabama and you try and do too much, and you want to come in and say, you know what, we're just going to try and pound it at him the whole game, or we're going to throw the ball 55 times, I think you're setting yourself up to keep Auburn in the game if one side of the ball is not hitting at a rate that we've seen the whole season. So if inconsistent Bama shows up and gives Auburn a chance, and they try and do too much or do something outside of themselves because it's the Iron Bowl, or try and do something outside of themselves because Ohio State looked really good last week, and Arkansas hung around, you'll see mistakes being forced. They just have to stay the course, which sometimes, even under the process, is one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Auburn, you have to get to Bryce because the precedent has been set. Other teams have gotten to him, and they've gotten to him with four-man stunt pressures without really blitzing five or six. You have to get to him, maybe have a strip sack or a turnover or two from him. And on the other side of that, if you're Alabama, you have to protect him or dial up quick game where he can get the ball out of his hands. This is what I've been saying every week. They need to figure out ways for him to be able to get the ball out of his hands quicker. And if you're the Alabama defense, you have to stay gap sound on defense. This is what we've been wanting to see from them all season. Don't let Tank in the Auburn run game even get started. If you can get up by 14, all of a sudden you're making TJ Finley come from behind and beat you. That's a good position to be in if you're Alabama.
Well, if Auburn lives in third and seven, they've got no shot. I'm telling you right now, like the first down play call, you got to find a way to get five on first.
That's what I was kind of thinking for Auburn, right? The first thing you got to do is stretch the field.
Even if
you have to come out and pitch backwards and you have to throw to open up the run because they know what you want to do and they know you want to run with Tank.
And they know Tank's
early,
pissed off because you didn't give him the ball last week.
You want to run them early downs. They know when it's third and five or third and six, Shivers is coming in, you're probably going to pitch it out to the back. So why not stretch the field early? And you have to be in your bag of tricks the entire game. If you want to win this game, whatever little plays you have saved in that little book that you have.
Your green notebook.
Whether special teams or offense, it has to come out because you can't go to the red zone versus Alabama and get 3 points.
You can't.
You can't. Against Alabama, you can't. And if you're Alabama, just be exactly what you said, just be yourself.
Don't do too much.
Do what you do. And if you're Auburn, you have to attempt to find a pass rush because if Auburn can get there with four, I'll be more surprised than I've ever been surprised this entire year because I don't think they can.
We've talked about Alabama struggles up front, but Auburn isn't exactly dominating on the line of scrimmage
from a
pass
rush standpoint.
They can
barely get to the quarterback of South Carolina. So if it's me, Bama, just be yourself. And Auburn, you have to come out and pitch backwards and stretch the field early and throw to open up the run.
And if they can't get to him, it's going to look a lot like Jalen Waddle did in the Iron Bowl and Jordan-Hare. With Jamison Williams, because he will absolutely torch you. And then, oh, by the way, they got Mechie. So, you know, again, it's going to come down, like we always talk about, to the pass rush. But, you know, it's pretty simple formula there as well. But all right, Cone.
Here we go.
Let's move to the game.
Let's do it.
Ohio State going to Michigan. Big game here. Huge game. Consequences.
Yeah. Implications.
Michigan keys to victory. David Cone.
You want to start with Michigan?
Yours. Yes.
Okay. First of all, every Michigan player should be given a little swag bag. Okay, and inside that swag bag, it should be complete with, say, rosary beads, travel Bible, Stars of David, maybe a little Brutus voodoo doll. You can stick with pins, you know what I'm saying? Because you need all the help you can get. But no, on a more serious front, I have five keys right here, Jake, and I want
to
hear what you think, okay, from a coaching standpoint, all right? First of all, it goes without saying, but you need to play sound football. Because when you're not the better team with better personnel and better matchups, there's no room for error. Okay, if both teams make mistakes, Ohio's going to win. And obviously, if you make mistakes and Ohio doesn't, you're certainly going to lose. You need to make them make mistakes while you play sound football. Create turnovers without turning the football over. Have penalties on the other side without you committing penalties. Okay, second, like we just talked about with Auburn and what what Brandon Graham told us yesterday, which I completely agree with, get pressure with four. You have two of the best defensive ends, if you're Michigan, in the country. Make sure you get to a young Ohio State quarterback. We're finally matching up with one of their younger quarterbacks. This isn't a fifth-year JT Barrett, right? A third-year Terrell Pryor, all these guys we had to face. Get pressure with four, because if you need to send five or six to get pressure and you're playing man defense behind him, you will get Dwayne Haskins, okay? Yeah. And they will put up 63 points at your house, all right? Get pressure with four and get there a lot, all right? Now, TDs, not field goals. We've been settling for way too many field goals, all right? I think we're going to need several 10-plus play drives in this game. But even if they're two or three play drives and you're able to hit some big plays against this defense, however you're able to score, it must be touchdowns and not field goals, right? And then here's one that I want your opinion on. It's not my last one, but you need multiple game plans, okay? This is a little bit riskier, and I want you to tell me from a coaching standpoint, but I think you need to have multiple game plans. You need to go in there, get on them early, right? Okay, like we were saying, play man sometimes, play zone sometimes, keep things in front, same thing on offense. Go for this, go for that, have trick play here or there. Okay, multiple game plans, and if you're up at halftime, whatever has worked in the first half, adjust before they can adjust. If you find yourself up at halftime, like you were against Alabama in the bowl game 2 years ago, go ahead and switch before they get a chance to adjust, because this is what they've shown the last few years, right? They can always adjust with their coaching staff at halftime, all right, to whatever we've done, even if it's worked well in the first half. And the last one is the Michigan coaching staff needs to be the difference and not the reason.
Ooh, I like that.
Am I wrong? They need to be the difference Michigan wins and not the reason they lose. You tell me what you think.
No, dude, I thought you knocked on the head. I've got a phrase for you for Michigan. Long drives help you survive.
Yep.
That goes both ways. If Ohio State's going to score, you make them go nine plays. You can't get hit. It can't be a hit and run. Can't be a hit and run where they're out there, like you said, taking advantage of picking up the blitz, which C.J. Stroud has made a killing of this season. You've got to make them drive. Now, on your side, time of possession is huge in a game like this. Michigan's goal, get to the fourth quarter with a chance. That's all you can ask.
Yes.
Get to the fourth quarter with a chance. With all the history in the past of the losing and Harbaugh and Ohio State, get your ass to the fourth quarter with a chance to win the game.
Yes.
And you do that. And again, look, it's not bad if you hit a 70-yard touchdown play. I'm not saying that. But you being able to run the ball, to establish command up front, to even split time of possession, that keeps C.J. Stroud on the bench. It's hard for them to score if Olave and all them are sitting over there by the Gatorade cooler. So at the end of the day, if you can have long drives on both sides, you can give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, which means you give yourself a chance late, which is all you can ask for. So I don't think you got to go out there and do anything crazy outside of yourself other than keep everything in front of you and frustrate them. What do explosive offenses, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, regardless, what do they hate? What do they hate? Being held down. And the longer you hold them down, it's like a volcano. It wants to erupt more and more and more and more and more till it gets to a certain point where it can't hold it in anymore, and that's when the mistake happens. And if you're Michigan, to me, you got to make the volcano bubble. You got to have long drives to survive.
Yes.
But with Ohio State, in my opinion, the exact opposite. You need a fast start. They believe. Michigan believes this year. The fan base believes. The players believe. You can tell something's a little bit different in the air. You do have a young quarterback at Ohio State. They haven't been as consistent as they normally had. And you're going to the big house. It's going to be nuts. There's going to be so much pregame stuff. Everybody's going to be talking about it. You need to take away the belief early. You took away Michigan State's belief awfully early last week, and I know it was at home, but you need to remind Michigan who has dominated this rivalry. You need to remind Michigan who is the bully in the yard, and you do that by showing up. If I'm Ryan Day and we win the toss, give me the damn ball. Give me the ball. I want to go score. Because if you let them hang around and hang around, that belief's going to build, and it's going to build, and it's going to build, and it's going to build. And your margin for error is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller as that clock goes. But if you come out and you hit them in the throat early, you punch them in the face early, you go down there and put seven on the board, get a stop, and go up 14 to nothing, people start looking around, and what do they start saying? Oh, it's the same old thing. All of a sudden, the chirping about Harbaugh comes back halfway through the second quarter. Everybody's feeling bad. There's no way we can come back, and that's when Ryan Day and them bury you. It's Iron Bowl week. Who better? You know, we've got Bo Nix coming on later in the week. Why not bring an Alabama quarterback in here? A really good one. John Parker Wilson, you can catch him now with Eli Gold. Does an unbelievable job. But, JPW, before we get started, I just do want to send my condolences and prayers to Cecil Hurt and his family and the Alabama family. Guy, you know, obviously unbelievable at his job, and sorry to hear about his passing.
Yeah, you know, very sad news, but the I think you've seen for the Twitter and the different outreach people reaching out. I mean, he was a special guy. I remember he covered me when I was playing, you know, grew up reading him and following him. And he was such a special person. Loved seeing him in the press box. And even when I was playing, I mean, he was one of those guys that was just an infectious person. And, you know, he's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah, and, you know, the irony of it being Iron Bowl week, a guy that covered the Iron Bowl and was a big part of it, and, you know, it's, again, like I said, prayers and condolences go out to his family. But we got a game to play, JPW, and you're looking at this matchup, you know, Auburn on a downward slide, you know, you lose Bo Nix, had a couple other injuries. When you look at this game from a 30,000-foot view, just kind of your thoughts on it.
You know, I think it's the Iron Bowl. It's a big week. It's a big game, and I've been following a lot of players and the media, and media availability for these guys. And I love seeing that even guys from out of town, out of state, realize how important this game is. It's a big deal. And you know, you always say, oh, rivalry games, you can throw the record book out. And I think this is the case this year. You know, I got first year head coach at Auburn. He's figuring out how much this game means around the state. new quarterback come in, TJ Finley. So you can kind of do things that you maybe wouldn't typically do with your starter, kind of play around, tinker a little bit, and it's at Auburn. So I think it's a big deal. It's an extremely tough place to play, and, you know, Alabama's trying to get ready for Georgia in the SEC championship, but Auburn would love nothing more to wreck Alabama's season right now and put them away.
You know, and we always release our keys to victory. We're going to be releasing them later in the week as well. But, you know, looking at Auburn, I want to go over one for each and get your thoughts on it. You know, looking at Auburn, you've got to find a way to get explosive plays. You know, you look at that offense, how many, you know, 60-yard touchdown runs have you seen? How many big explosive plays over 40, 50 yards have you seen? You're not going to be able to just, you know, try and 3 yards in a cloud of dust Alabama and expect, you know, for this to be a 17-14 game. Am I barking up the right tree from the Auburn side there?
No, I think you're right. And I think, you know, when teams have, you know, A&M, a lot of explosive plays, LSU was able to keep it close, it's really hard to go sustain those drives against this defense. Now, when they do get the explosive plays, it's kind of been when Alabama's been confused in the secondary and we've seen some guys run free. You know, Arkansas was able to do it and be pretty productive in that. So I think it is a way to do it. And also, with the way Alabama offense is moving, the other team offense has to be aware of that and put up points, because right now Bryce Young's got to click it on offense, and I think they're going to expect to score some points. So if I'm Auburn, you got to hit those explosive plays and try to get some points on the board, especially early. You don't want to you can't play catch up with this offense right now that Alabama's got on the field.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I talk to Bryce every week. We were talking Monday night, and I talked with him about it. Seems to me like the past 3-4 weeks, The timing in your head of when to take off is really starting to add up, and he's starting to become a lot more effective as a runner while protecting himself. And he was like, yeah, you know, just game reps. I'm getting used to it, understanding, you know. And he made a good point. He's like, when I take off all the time, it's not because the protection's not good. He's like, everybody thinks that, oh, I took off and scrambled. Yeah. That must mean I had pressure. He's like, no, I'm seeing guys' backs turned, and I'm taking off and going, which to me as a defensive guy is scary as hell, JPW, because the way he can extend the play, and if you're Alabama coming in to this game, you really have to stay the course. To me, trying to do too much would be your own downfall here. You've just got to continue to operate the way that you've operated and try and put a consistent full game together, which, I mean, I don't know if we've seen outside of maybe Ole Miss.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's been flashes at different parts of the offense. You know, 1 week we'll be running the ball. LSU, we couldn't run the ball at all. I think the offense had pretty good you know, complete game for them with Brian Robinson going over 100 yards rushing, two receivers over 100 yards. But I think you're exactly right. I think we're seeing Bryce, his maturation of a quarterback in just his first year starting. You know, he was really efficient early. I think he got the deep ball going middle of the season, and now he's putting the running game on there. And you're right. It's not, he's not pulling it down because he has to. He's seeing what the defense is doing and saying, hey, this is a really good opportunity for me to run the ball. Or they get it covered downfield. You see production really increase from Alabama. So I think Bryce has got it clicking right now. And he's understanding what's going on. And his timing is good. His knowledge of the game has gotten so much better. And to me, he's a dramatically better quarterback than he was the first game. And that's saying something because he started out pretty hot.
Definitely, and I'm very interested to see, too, you know, kind of Alabama, they want to be balanced. You know, B.O.B. wants to be as balanced as possible. But I feel like Bryce Young and them are going to take a few shots early. I would not be shocked. And something me and you were talking about before you got on here, John Parker, is Alabama coming out and trying to take away the faith early. Because just like we talk about Ohio State going to Michigan, they believe in Michigan that they can win this game. Regardless of what the records are in the Iron Bowl, Auburn playing at home believes they can win this game, and we've seen crazy stuff happen. How big is it for Alabama to come out in that first quarter and a half in that first half and try and implement their will and show, hey, we're the dominant team just like everybody thought we were?
Yeah, and try to dominate Auburn. I think that's what Alabama wants to be able to do going into the Georgia game. Auburn's a tough place to play, like we said. And, you know, if you can get out on a lead, if you're a road team and you can get on the lead, you feel it in the stadium. You could feel, you know, the grumblings in the crowd. Good or bad. If Auburn gets out to a lead or is competitive, you know, they're going to feel a lot of emotion. So I think right now, Alabama, you let Jameson Williams go. This guy's got so much speed and has been a major explosive player. So if you can get him going early and you hit a deep ball early, that's going to soften up the defense and make it so much easier on the run game. So I think getting him going and even Metchie, he's been an explosive player too, makes the whole offense better because then we can start working in our tight ends. We can start running the running backs. And it's really a big explosive advantage that Alabama has right now.
No doubt. And John Parker, I do got to ask you my last question. Before my last question, I got two more. Grade Brian Harsin year one. What grade would you give him?
I think Brian Harsin's done really well so far. And Auburn's sitting right now at 6-5. I think he's got the program going in the right direction. I mean, I like what they're doing offensively and what?
Hey, bring in the screen. No, we're not live.
Are we live right now?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Say what's up, dude.
Hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, you can join us for the rest of the interview. They can join. It's Iron Bowl week, man. It's Thanksgiving week. They can join us for the rest of the interview.
It's Iron Bowl. It's Thanksgiving. But I think Brian Harsin's done good. I think I mean, I like where Auburn's program's at right now. If I'm an Auburn fan, they've definitely, I think, not turned things around, but really accelerated what Malzahn had going.
Yeah. No doubt. And it's going to be interesting, too, to see it as it goes in his first recruiting class and getting personnel in there. But, John Parker, man, I always appreciate you coming on, brother.
Tell those
boys we said hello. And I know there's going to be some good eating going on in the Wilson household this week. Looking at this Iron Bowl, and I know you're hurt, Bo, and not going to be able to play, and you're as competitive as anybody. What does this game mean to you? I mean, you're a guy that grew up in an Auburn family, an Auburn legacy. I mean, there's pictures of you, you know, in the stands in Iron Bowls previous. What does this game mean to you?
Well, just as an Auburn fan, it means a lot. And just from an Auburn player that's played in it, graduated from Auburn, it means a lot. This game is obviously everything and why you come to Auburn. It's just the little things and rivalries that make the biggest difference. And every year, no matter just the record of each team, it's always a good football game. And that's what you can expect this week. You can throw like records to the side, standings to the side, and it's just going to be a good football game. That's what you can expect, and that's what this game has always provided for the fans. And so it's going to be a good, hard-fought game. A lot of effort from both sides, a lot of good plays from both sides, and just it's a fun game to be in. It'll be a fun atmosphere on Saturday.
You know, Bo, when you look at this Alabama defense, I know you're a fan of the game, you're a student of the game as well. I know you've been able to watch Alabama all year. What are a few things that stand out to you about this Alabama defense?
Just obviously their front seven is really good, and then they got a lot of veterans in the back end. And what's Alabama, they've always done a good job on defense, is getting a hat on a hat and making sure they cover up all the guys. And there's very few, like, easy give-me throws. that they allow. And that just speaks to them as a defense, speaks to their communication and athleticism, how they can get on guys and cover them and make sure they eliminate those easy passes. And then the front seven just allows you to just kind of do that in the secondary because they don't give up many rush lanes and they do a good job at the point of attack. And so they're just a physical team and can run. And they're always, they're usually always in the right spot. And that, again, that goes back to just covering up everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, Bo, I know we've talked before, and you talked about, you know, kind of letting TJ do his thing, and he has experience, but he doesn't have experience in this game. You have experience in this game. Is there anything you're going to talk to him about this week? Because, again, I know it's probably hard to explain from one player to another, even though he has experience and you do as well. But in this game, is there anything you can tell TJ other than to just go get him?
Well, you can – I mean – you can tell him all he wants to hear, and a lot of people will tell him what to expect, but you really can't like imagine it, can't expect it until you actually experience it for the first time. And he's been in big games. He's played in big games before, so it won't be necessarily anything shocking to him. You know, he's been in stadiums where it's been loud and the atmosphere has been crazy, and he's played against good defenses. So I think that just together, it will allow him to have what it takes to go out there and play a good game. And I may say a few things, may help him, encourage him, just stay in the game. It's a long game. They're going to make good plays. You're going to make good plays. Let them cancel each other out. And you just make the next play and continue to make it over and over.
Definitely, man. Well, Bo, I appreciate your brother. Hope you heal soon. I'm sure we're going to have you back here in the next couple weeks and looking forward to the bowl season and the postseason as well, man. Get healthier and stay healthy. I appreciate it. Let's talk some Iron Bowl here, Lance. I mean, you look at each one of these teams. Obviously, Auburn's been on a downward trajectory. Bo Nix is out. Got some other guys beat up. Really struggling to put four quarters together. Alabama, on the other hand, coming in, they haven't been as consistent as we've seen in the past, but the roster for Alabama is so much further ahead than Auburn, especially up front. Just, you know, overlooking the whole game, what are kind of some quick thoughts from each side?
Yeah, I mean, Alabama's offense playing at a high level. You know, if you would have told me, Jake, last week that, you know, Bryce Young was going to go a school record 559 and you were going to have the combination of Jamison Williams going almost 200 yards at three touchdowns and Mechie doing his thing for 173 and Brian Robinson, you know, going 125 almost on the ground, I would have thought it would have been a 35-point game. But Alabama, outside of Mississippi State, has yet to really play a full 60 minutes. So I think the roster's good. I think Alabama fans have spoiled themselves trying to compare this version to 2020, which you can make an argument with 2019 LSU and maybe 2018 Clemson, some of the best teams we've seen in the history of college football. So maybe unfair to Bama, but there's just something they're lacking. And, you know, you look at the secondary, they've given up big plays. The offensive line, if you're an Alabama fan, they've given up 17 sacks. Even with such a mobile, elusive Bryce Young over the last six games. So there's definitely flaws with this Alabama team. And as far as Auburn goes, you know, Alabama's lost three of four in Jordan-Hare, three of the last four. With Bo Nix quarterbacking, I think this game is so different. I just don't buy T.J. Finley in his second Auburn start, you know, pulling this kind of magic out. To me, and this is really cheesy, Jake, I brought this on the show and I didn't even mean to do it, but I use the acronym TNT, turnovers and Tank. I think if Tank has a monster game, which he's capable of, and they can turn the ball over, which Bryce Young really hasn't done, then I think they got an opportunity here.
Yeah, and look, you know, Lance, you've seen a bunch of Iron Bowls. I have too. You never really know in this matchup, especially at Jordan-Hare, but just the Bo Nix effect, you know, his ability to extend the play, as we saw against LSU, we've seen throughout his whole career. TJ, not as averse there. And then Tank, you know, if they'll give him the ball, you look at the second half of the South Carolina game, and you'd have thought somebody threw an invisibility cloak on him the way that Bobo wouldn't feed him. But, you know, looking at Brian Harsin, Lance, in his first year, and I always, you know, first year's got to be a pass. You got to give a guy time to get his personnel in there. But just watching the way that Auburn has operated, what are your thoughts on Brian Harsin year one?
Well, you know, when they made the hire, Jake, I applauded the hire for it being an out-of-the-box hire. I don't know how good of a coach Brian Harsin is because he took over what was an elite Group 5 program in Boise State, and he didn't do the job that Chris Peterson did. He did a pretty good job, not a great job. So I thought it was kind of a strange hire. But I like the fact that Auburn went outside of the box finally. And then when Auburn was sitting just less than a month ago at number 13, controlled their own destiny, I was like, hell, man, this might be your SEC coach of the year. But now back-to-back blown 14-point-plus leads, only the third time we've seen that over the last 15 years in this conference. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to think. You know, Bobo obviously is getting questioned. Derek Mason going back to Mississippi State and that complete meltdown and debacle against Will Rogers. He's being questioned right now. So I'm like you, man. Every coach I give a pass in year one, this is kind of what I expected from Auburn. I didn't expect them to lose to South Carolina in year one, but I expected 6-6 or 7-5. So this doesn't blow me away. You know, he'll get adjusted. You know, there's rumors out there that he might be looking elsewhere. I would be shocked if Brian Harsin isn't back in 2022. But like you said, man, you got to give this guy a pass. And I think all in all, C+, B- job.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure, a lot more pressure now on signing day for Auburn to make a mark after they've kind of fallen off a cliff. You know, you go 8-4, screw around and go 9-3, you can convince people on, you know, we're getting guys in here to get the fit and he can put on 20 pounds. You go 6-6, you better be signing some guys with stars next to their name or people are going to be start asking a lot of questions from the front to the back. But Lance, I do want to focus on this Alabama team and their ceiling this year as we kind of wind down. We're here with Lance Taylor from Next Round Live. Our buddies Jim Dunaway, Ryan Brown over there do a really good job. Lance, when you look at this Alabama team, and I know you have the Iron Bowl and they're not going to look past them, but we can look past. That's a great part about being in this profession. When you look at Alabama lining up with Georgia, to me, Alabama's going to have to, like you mentioned and we mentioned on this show, put a full game together, something we haven't seen. And right now, I think that's the difference in Georgia and Alabama is that Georgia's been able to play complementary football with an elite roster. Alabama has yet to find that. What do you think about the Alabama-Georgia matchup looking at what we're going to get in Atlanta?
Well, I think what's fascinating is you try to tell me an elite offense that Georgia has faced. I don't think one's out there. You know, Tennessee's got a pretty good offense now with Hendon Hooker, Arkansas in spots. But this will be by far the best offense they've seen. And I know they haven't played any tight games. They've basically skull drug every team they've played. But this Alabama team does have potential to hang with them. And I think a lot of this has to do with the Alabama brand. But people have asked me for the last couple of weeks, what will the number be in Atlanta for the SEC championship? And, you know, about 2 months ago, I said, I still think Alabama will be favored based on the brand. But based on the inconsistencies over the last few weeks, I said, Georgia's going to be your favorite. I don't know how much. And then we see Circa released it last week. Georgia was only a 3.5-point favorite.
I'll take it right now.
It tells me everybody's going to be on Georgia. Alabama obviously is going to have motivation.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events... You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like there is no margin of error at all. If they lose this game, they're more than likely out of the college football playoff. So I think it's going to be fascinating. It's an elite offense against an elite defense. What gives? I'm still not sure how good Georgia's offense is. You know, I had a conversation with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were like, I can't name one skill guy on Georgia's team outside of Stetson Bennett. So it is a fascinating, you know, in today's world of college football where everything's offense, Georgia's been dominant this year, but it's not like they've got a ton of first-rounders on that offense. So, you know, if Alabama's defense shows up like they did against Mississippi State, I think it'll be a hell of a game. Right now, it's hard not to lean Georgia because they've been so dominant. But I'll be over there. Hopefully, I'll see you over there. And
yeah, we'll
be
here.
Fascinating matchup.
All right, it's rivalry week, and we have some representation up here. I know we're not going live today. Nobody freak out. We'll be back same time next week, starting on Monday. But we couldn't let the week go without giving our keys to victory, which we did. And now talking about which rivalry is the best rivalry. And there's only two to compare. You can take Florida State, Miami, take that out. Y'all can talk about that in places that nobody really cares about. You can take your, you know, Egg Bowl's a good rivalry, but, you know, Caesar salad's a good salad. We're talking Iron Bowl and Michigan versus Ohio State, because I refuse to call it the game, because it's not the game. It's the game again between Ohio State and Michigan. And here's where I stand on it. Cone, we know you're a former Michigan quarterback. So you're obviously going to probably take a side of it. Me being from the state of Alabama.
Don't make assumptions.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big assumption.
Me being from the state of Alabama, happen to believe that the Iron Bowl is the better rivalry. There's more vitriol. There's also respect, but there's more vitriol, and it means more. You want to know why? Because what are the... If you ever grew up with siblings, you know, it's one thing to have a rivalry with a guy that lives across the street. You know, that's one thing. See him all the time, go to the same school, hang out at the same places. But when you have a rivalry with a sibling that's in the same house, you got to see when you wake up in the morning. You got to see him when you go to sleep. You got to see him at the dinner table. You grow up and you go through things together. It matters more. The most brutal fights I've ever been in have been with my brother. Because it just means more when it's in the family, Cone. Not saying that Michigan, and, that's a lie. Not saying that Michigan and Ohio State isn't important, or that they don't like each other. But y'all live across the street from each other. The Iron Bowl, it's in the same house. And more than one team wins every now and then. That's another thing that makes it important. Auburn's been one of the few teams that's been able to go toe-to-toe with Bama. To me, that makes it an even better rivalry because it's competitive. I mean, Ohio State has to me, it's like the part on Wayne's World where he's telling the story about, I think, Ozzy Osbourne. When he's like, Ozzy came in the back and said if we didn't get him a bucket full of green M&Ms, he wasn't going on stage that night. Because I feel like Ohio State can walk in and be like, give me the green M&Ms or we're not playing. Last year, I played a little game of Duck, Duck, Goose, in my opinion. That would never happen in the Iron Bowl. But it's different when it's in the same house. It's different. It's different when you got to share a bathroom with them growing up. They're always there. They're always there. I can't close the blinds and it be done. Don't look at them. It's not keeping up with the Joneses. Y'all are the Joneses. You're a Jones and they're a Jones. And that's more important than Indiana Jones. So, all right, Cone, what do you think?
Is that it? Are you ready? Because listen, when you kick it to me, I'm going in.
I'm coming right back. I'm coming back like Jordan.
You won't need to.
Blaine's like Wilder Valderrama on what is it? Like your mama? He's like, let's bully.
I'm the guy. I'm the Dana White between y'all.
You're holding
right
everybody
the UFC
back.
Fights.
What do you say, Cone? Y'all gonna mix up a couple wins in this or what?
Quite frankly, Jake. I'm running out of reasons.
Oh,
okay. I'm running out of reasons.
Oh no.
Dude, I've talked to dozens of teammates this week, as I always do every year.
He's taking a dark
turn.
As
I always do every year this week. And I'm going to break this down in three tiers for you.
Okay.
Listen,
okay?
I'm all ears.
You ready
bro.
For
only
this?
Three?
What do you say?
I'm going to mute him. There we go. Past, present, and future.
Are you going to Ebenezer Scrooge on me?
Past, present, and future. Let's do it. Don't get muted again.
All right. I can't control it.
I stand by my statement from this summer that no one decade can determine the fate of rivalries that are 130 years old, right? And I think historically, the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry has been more important in college football because of the postseason implications, specifically the Rose Bowl. And I think with the historical aspect, Michigan and Ohio have been more comparable in terms of their greatness in taking games off of each other.
I can see that.
Whereas historically, I think Auburn has played that underdog role, sort of been the silver to Alabama's gold for a long time, historically.
The silver bullet to Alabama's werewolf.
Fair enough. That rivalry, Michigan and Ohio, was really, really catapulted to the forefront of college football with Bo and Woody, the 10-year mm-hmm. war, mm-hmm. right? When you hear things like, I went for two because I couldn't go for three. Push the bus across the state line because we're not paying for gas in Michigan, right? Things like that. Makes it great.
That deep hate.
That ended in 1978, that 10-year war, Jake. Mm. That's a decade before you and I were born.
Yeah.
What happened 2 years later? Pat Dye shows up on campus at Auburn.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? He says, we know they don't want to respect us. At Alabama, but they're going to respect us.
Mm.
And for the last 40 years, they've been demanding that respect. And when this clip plays, I'm going to be sitting in a household full of Alabama fans, and they don't want to respect Auburn. But you know what they say? Even this week, three touchdown favorites, they're going to say, yeah, but it's at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah.
You never know. That's respect. Okay? Which gets me to the present. Okay, which I consider to be, let's say, the last 10, 15 years. 15 years ago this week, I was a freshman, 18-year-old freshman on campus in Ann Arbor. 1-2, right? How cool is that? 1-2 with postseason implications.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Coach Schembechler dies the day before the game, passes on Friday. We go to Columbus, lose by 3 in the horseshoe. They win the Big Ten. They win the Heisman Trophy. They play in the national title. And what's happened since then? 15 of 16. And what happened right after that? A man by the name of Nick Saban takes the head coaching job at Alabama and creates the greatest dynasty our sport has ever seen. Better than Bear Bryant, better than all of them. And in the midst of that dynasty, recruiting the best players, every five-star in a 1,500-mile radius. What has Auburn done? Somehow they figure out a way every other year to beat them because that's what a great rivalry means. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Your record doesn't matter.
Yep.
Your ranking doesn't matter. Home field advantage doesn't matter. Personnel matters, but it can be overcome.
Mm-hmm.
All that matters, the most important thing, is who won last year? Because the loser has had to stew for 365, and they want their shot. That's what Auburn's done in the middle of the greatest dynasty that we've seen in college football.
Wow. Well, I always tell all my Alabama fan friends, I'm like, y'all understand it's never going to be better than this.
Yeah.
It's never going to be better than this.
And in the midst of that, got two national title berths and won one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So as we sit here today, the Iron Bowl is the most important rivalry in college football.
Man.
And we've already established that the most important rivalries in sports are college football rivalries.
Yes.
So the most important rivalry in sport heretofore right now is the Iron Bowl. That's the past. That's the present. Let me get you to the future.
Put the camera on me real quick.
Let's get to the future.
Great job.
If Michigan and Ohio want to reclaim that throne, right, for the greatest rivalry, there's a few things that need to happen. One Michigan control, one they can't control.
They need a hero.
The first one is win. Beat
That's the big one.
Your rival.
Yeah.
Beat your rival. And then you're going to need Auburn to lose consistently, which you can't control. Let's just say Jim Harbaugh were able to figure out the Ohio problem, win the next four or five, five or six, get into a couple playoffs. And simultaneously, Coach Harsin can't figure out the Nick Saban problem, right? Nick Saban were able to win six, seven in a row to sunset into retirement. Then in 5 years, you and I are having a very different conversation because, like I said, no one decade can determine the fate of rivalries that are both 130-plus years old.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So what better time to start? What better time to start than right now as you sit in Ann Arbor at 10-1? And congratulations. Let's give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. Michigan is 10-1 with the boys from Ohio also 10-1 coming to your place with playoff and postseason implications, right? And on the other side of that, you have a down Auburn team with a first-year Auburn coach hosting a one-loss Alabama team who's already cemented their place in the conference championship.
Mm-hmm.
What better time to start than right now, okay? Right now, because everything you want goes through Ohio. Just like everything for Auburn goes through Alabama, everything for Alabama goes through Auburn. Everything you want goes through Ohio. If you can't beat Ohio, you can't win the division. If you can't win the division, you can't win the conference. If you can't win the conference, you can't make the playoff. And if you can't make the playoff, you can't be national champion, which to me is still the standard.
It's gotta be.
If that's changed and all the Michigan fan base wants to vote on good enough, is good enough, then make sure you include me on the memo so I can get rid of my Michigan paraphernalia.
Wow.
Because it's not good enough. What better time to start? Because I'll tell you right now, I've seen rerun after rerun after rerun with the same characters, the same plot lines, and I'm about Marvel sequeled out. You know what I need to see this weekend? You know what I want to see this weekend, Jay? I want to see some Quentin Tarantino freshness. I need Jim Harbaugh this weekend to go full Tarantino and give us some freshness.
Wow, Harbaugh going Tarantino, I love it.
Get busy beating your rival, or you just pull a Notre Dame and say we're not going to play it anymore. Good.
Top that, Blaine.
Oh, well, I mean, if
go
anything,
ahead. What do you
yeah,
got?
If anything, I'm agreeing with y'all. It's just,
Kevin,
I feel like,
out of the park.
I feel like we're talking relevancy, really, for the best rivalry game. The best, I think, relevancy to a certain extent matters, right? And I think in-state is huge, right? Like, you can go to Walmart, right? And what? There's Auburn and Alabama gear right next to each other. So, like, you walk outside, like, it's your best friends.
That's one thing that I'm still not fully convinced. Y'all tell me, I'm still not fully convinced that the in-state portion of this is more vitriolic than a cross-state.
Well,
because, let me just say this
ahead,
real quick.
Ahead.
I mean, at the end of the day, Auburn and Alabama hate each other, but you're still Alabamians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
yeah.
when you draw a borderline between two states or two people or two whatever, there really is no ceiling for that level of hate. But I can see the other side of it being argued, and it really was not that important for the point I wanted to make, even though I'm still not fully convinced that that necessarily is the deciding factor. I honestly think what we talked about before, the postseason implications, because like you said before, that's what has made this last decade so much fun to watch on the Auburn standpoint. I think the winner of that game has played in like eight national, has represented eight national championships.
Yeah, yeah. And
that's more important to me.
Well, I'm not arguing importance when we're debating which factors make the rivalry, you know, better than the other. I mean, there's probably three or four base factors we can look at. But my argument with the in-state thing is that with boundaries and borders – you got somewhere to go. Like you, if it's going good and you can hate each other, and hating each other, and there's respect, in my opinion, in both of these rivalries. When's the last time you saw a brawl in the Michigan-Ohio State game or a brawl in the Auburn-Alabama game?
Yeah.
When's the last time? I mean, Michigan-Ohio State, am I forgetting one? That
they always chirp at the beginning of the game.
Well, I'm talking about, like, the, hey, you know, South Carolina-Clemson, like, guys are throwing helmets and stomping each other out. There's not, because, you know, in the Iron Bowl, just like in Michigan and Ohio State, a lot of these guys grew up playing against each other. Now, to me, it's a little more regional in Auburn, Alabama, because it is the same state. Therefore, the localities are going to be closer. But it's different when you're mad at somebody. You can respect somebody and still be competitive and mad with them, but you can't leave them. There is no, all right, I'm going to my side of the street. You go to your side of the street. We'll talk trash to all our friends about each other, this, that, and the other. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I get it. I get it. That means a lot, but it means less to me than the number 3,650. Because you know what that is, Jay? 3,650. That's how many days it's been since Michigan beat Ohio.
That's more important.
That's got to change.
That's what has to change. My argument is that more important? My argument is when you're comparing the vitriol between Auburn and Alabama and Michigan Ohio State. My argument isn't the importance of winning, because without winning, it's not a rivalry.
It's a
tradition. A traditional ass beating is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a rivalry. For it to be a rivalry, the other team has to win some of the time. And, I think so eloquently put it, about as good as you can put it.
Let me tell you the saddest part. Kirk Herbstreit and I have talked about this several times, and I've heard this from other Ohio fans too, which is basically we want Michigan to win one occasionally so that this remains the greatest rivalry in sports. Whenever fans of your rival are saying, we want y'all to get one.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
That is
pitiful. Like the parents. There's a difference between them being mad at you and then disappointed in you.
It sounds like Ohio State just wants to feel something again. Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, I was talking about with a kid who's from Ohio, and he's like, look, it's even worse for me because I'm from Ohio.
Yeah,
you know?
I understand.
Ohio State just wants to feel something.
Well, the thing about it is, like, if it's the best, if you want to compare it to the best, right, I feel like the relevancy of, like, wins of lately has to matter, right? In the same span that Ohio State went 15-16, I think the same 16-year span, I think Auburn some magical way went 8-8 in Alabama in the Iron Bowl.
So I don't know if it's 8-8, but still.
State fans just want to feel something.
Well, during that 16-year window, yeah, 15-16, both Alabama and Auburn 8-8.
I don't know why that hit me. We're having two totally different conversations over here. That just that was hilarious to me. But no, look, and again, I agree with them though. I mean, and we always talk about being college football purists, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we are. I want the Miami-Florida State rivalry to be great.
For sure.
I want the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry to be great. I want USC-UCLA to be great.
Red River Shootout.
I want SCLSU versus, Lafayette or whoever to be great. I want all the rivalries to be as good as they possibly can because it makes the game better. So when you're comparing these things, Cone, I mean, I agree with everything that you said. And, if I didn't agree with you, I'd tell you.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you said.
Look, we sit here on the precipice of a rivalry weekend, yep. Right, where everything Michigan wants is right there for the taking. And it is much better to be having this conversation sitting at 10-1 rival coming to your place with an opportunity to make history, which would be for Jim Harbaugh to make the conference championship,
make the playoff,
possibly win it, and then could make the playoff. Mm-hmm. We sit on the precipice of
two birds, one stone.
And that's a lot better than conversations we've been having before. But like you said, last year can't be forgotten. And I don't know what the reality of the situation is or was, but the perception is that they ducked Ohio. They didn't want to go down there and get beat.
Y'all went
duck. So what
duck,
I'm saying
and never
is,
said goose.
Like you all know, because Auburn is kind of down right now, giving up the last couple games. All can be forgiven this week, right? There's a lot out there for the taking.
It's the golden gun.
There's a lot out there for the taking.
Coach.
But I'm sequeled out.
Yeah. Look, eventually, I just stop believing you. It's like the shows on Netflix. After like season three, you start reaching.
You can only watch Iron Man so many times.
That's exactly right. You can only package it and change Spider-Man for me 19 times. But anyways, we appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn those notifications on. No live shows for the rest of this week. We're coming back Monday live, 3 to 4 Eastern. That's 2 to 3 Central. Remember, you can find all the audio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. We appreciate you guys. Hopefully, you're enjoying your turkey, ham, however you get down.
Cranberry sauce.
Overrated. Unbelievably overrated. Erroneous on all counts. Make sure you guys, like I said, hit subscribe. We'll check y'all later. We're going, gone.
The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.